Our lesson this morning is found in Ezekiel chapters 20 and 21. I encourage you to get your Bibles and read along with me as we go through the lesson this morning. The title of the lesson is Reviewing the National Inventory. Reviewing the National Inventory. Well, this is Palm Sunday. This is the week in history that Jesus went to the cross. Next week, of course, being Easter. The entire Bible is a story about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of history points either forward to him or backward to him. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, was buried, and arose on the third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. That is the history of the world. And then, of course, next week, being Easter, we'll celebrate his resurrection. This is a good day to take an inventory of our past. Our lesson today is about how Ezekiel reviewed the history of the nation of Israel and how God had worked in his chosen people, of course, the Israelites. And that's what we need to do this morning. We need to stop and review how God has worked in our lives. When we take a spiritual inventory of our lives, it will encourage us to obey God and remind us of the patterns of sin that we need to break. So turn in your Bible, if you will, Ezekiel chapter 20, reading the first three verses. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. I like the way Ezekiel is very specific. You can actually trace history all the way down. It's the fifth month, the tenth day, of course, on the Jewish calendar. And Ezekiel saying that they came to inquire of the Lord, they sat before me. The elders of Israel, of course. And then in verse 2, then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. So as the elders came to Ezekiel, sat down in front of Ezekiel, or beside Ezekiel, they came to inquire of God, but obviously they wanted to inquire of God on their own terms and not on God's terms. If you really just look at this at face value here, you say, well, if they come want to know God, then why would that be a bad thing? Why would God say, I'll not be inquired of you? But that's what he said in the last part of that verse 3. God said, I will not be inquired of you. Well, the reason being is they were hard-hearted. It seems they wanted God to talk with them and bless them, while yet they continued in their sin. The very sin that they were being punished for. Their words and show, putting on a show, did not impress God one bit, because God knew their heart. Ezekiel chapter 33 gives us a little insight on how they came to the prophet but had no intention of obeying God's instructions. Let's look at, if you will, just flip over a couple chapters, or a few chapters. Ezekiel chapter 33. Flip over to Ezekiel 33, verses 31 and 32. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear the words, but they do them not. reminds me of a lot of Christians today. I wonder how many goes to church to make a show or to be seen. They talk the talk, but they have no intentions of walking the walk. They listen to the preacher, they listen to the teacher, but it's like listening to a song. Oh, it's all words, but they have no intention of doing what they hear. Sometimes we hear the message, but miss the summons. What I'm saying is sometimes we're listening to the message like hearing a nice song playing, but having no intention of doing what we hear. And of course the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. God was not about to bless them. We've already been studying how Ezekiel's message was a message of judgment from God. God was angry with them for their sin, and he is angry with us today when we rebel against the word of God. He is not going to allow us today to come and inquire of him and get blessings from him if we're rebellious or under punishment and living for the world and living in our sin. God told Ezekiel to make them know their abominations. Go back to our text, chapter 20, verse 4. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Well, we talked last week how sin accumulates. One generation sins, then they raise their children that way, and then their children sins and goes even deeper. And then they raise their children, and their children sins even more and goes even deeper. God is merciful, and God is long-suffering, but judgment is sure. Ezekiel had warned in all kind of ways that God was about to send judgment. It didn't seem to do a bit of good. They just turned a deaf ear. Does that remind you of America today? Preachers are preach, teachers are teach, but people will just go on like nothing's going to happen. Only God's grace can turn insensitive sinners from their sin. We need to warn the wicked, but just our warning them is not enough. We need to pray for God's grace to get a hold of their hearts. We have been praying, and we have praying, and then we have effectual, fervent praying. I'm afraid most of the prayers today just fall on in the first category of just going through the routine and motions of saying a prayer. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need some real prayer warriors to reach the throne of grace for our families, for our country. Can I just say the government can't fix our problems? It's going to take God's people getting right with him, because judgment begins at the house of God. And we're familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14. I hope all of you are praying this prayer for our nation today. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us if you're a born-again believer this morning, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Ezekiel reminded Israel of where God brought her from. He reminded them that from the very beginning, he had told them to not sin, not to have idols before God, but yet they rebelled anyway. Even before God delivered them from Egypt, they were sinful and rebellious. But God delivered them in spite of their sinfulness, because he wanted to protect his holy name from the insults of the heathen. Well, Brother Tommy, where are you getting at? Well, let's continue on. Go down to verse 7 of our text. Ezekiel 20, verses 7 through 9. And this said I unto them, cast you away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. And we know that Egypt is also a type of the world, right? I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen. What should not be polluted? His name. Among who they were, in whose sight I make myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So we see Ezekiel here is giving them, they're going back into a history lesson about where they were at and where they come from. God had brought them out of bondage of Egypt and into the wilderness. And in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, God gave them laws, or the Mosaic law, to live by. These statutes and these ordinances were gifts of God's grace. God's grace is much more than unmerited favor, which it is. Grace teaches us that God's attitude toward us is one of love and acceptance. Every one of us is helplessly trapped in sin. And without grace, we could never please a thrice holy God. We deserve to burn in hell, but grace. Praise God. Amen. But grace. We are saved by grace through faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus, grace by faith. I grew up in a church, and as a child, I even made a profession of faith. However, I really didn't understand, and then as a teenager and a young man, I knew I wasn't saved. And if you knew me then, you'd know I wasn't saved. But then in June of 1986, a man at work invited me to church. Myra and I were dating at the time, and so we went that Sunday night to an independent Baptist church in Jonesville. I got gloriously saved that night. Myra rededicated her life. And that man at work was God's ambassador that day. God has sent him as his ambassador to give me a message. And that day I became, or that Sunday night, I became a new creature in Christ. And I can testify that my life sure did change. If you're saved, God has made you an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador represents the king or president in a foreign country. This is not your home. You're a pilgrim passing through. You're living in a foreign country if you're saved and born again. God has placed you in the lives of others to represent himself. If you don't give the message that God told you to give, then you're being disobedient and you'll be out of God's will. Well, you say, not me. Well, it's not my place to tell others. Well, that's the preacher's job. I mean, he gets paid to do it. I don't have a job. But yet every person that's born again that God saved, He made them an ambassador for Christ. It is our job, our responsibility, each and every one of us, to tell others the gospel. If you've been saved, you have a testimony. And it is your responsibility to tell others. Just tell others how God saved you and invite them to let God save them. So how about you? Do you remember the day that the Lord saved you? It's truly amazing that God would even look our way, much less look at us in love. Who can understand grace? It's sure too big for my mind. If we're saved, we're saved by grace. Then, if we completely rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace can give us power we need to live for Him. When we do live for Him and please Him, it's only possible because He gives us the power through His grace to do so. There is no good thing in us, but His grace is sufficient to help us to be an ambassador for Him. If you're saved, you have experienced the greatest miracle of God. You have heard the precious word of God. You have entered into a covenant with Him. He is your Father, and you're His child. In spite of the miracles and privileges of the covenant union, the Jews revolted against their deliverer. Instead of destroying them and bringing dishonor to His name, God let them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. The old generation died out. But God brought the younger generation into the promised land. Well, what did they do? Jump down to verse 30 of our text. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? The history view showed the struggle between Israel trying to ruin herself with sin and God trying to save them and make them happy and give them the peace of God. Verse 33, jump down. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with the fury poured out will I rule over you. Who is your ruler? Continuing on 34 through 38. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you're scattered. And with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with the fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Nothing can stop God's sovereign, unchanging plan for the nation of Israel. God will purge the sinners, and He'll fulfill His promises to the remaining godly Jews. God has always had and will always have a remnant, a small group that will remain faithful to Him. God chose the undeserving nation of Israel to be His chosen people. God will continue to work with them until He brings the nation to be a regenerated people that will detest sin just like he does. God will do well for his people, not because they deserve it, but that he can get the glory of it, and that he can show himself to be a God pardoning sin, keeping promises, so that his people can praise him, and that the lost can notice God, and the lost will want what they have. We should be salt. We should live our life in such a way that our family, our friends, our co-workers, our salt should make them so thirsty that they want to drink of living water, and that they'll want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll want what we have. Are we living that type of life? Are we living that type of life? Psalm 126, verse 3. Then said they among the heathen. Now this is they among the heathen. This is the heathen talking. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. So it got the heathen's attention how God's hand was upon and protecting Israel. Their captivity and return from being scattered in Babylon was only a partial fulfillment of this prophecy. The saved survivors of the tribulation will enter into a covenant relationship of the blessings during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he comes again. Then they'll understand the grace of Christ. They'll know that they didn't do anything to deserve these blessings. Before Israel is restored, they'll have to go through the baptism by fire. Ezekiel was in Babylon at this time, and God told him to look to the south and prophesy against Judah and Jerusalem. Remember, the southern tribe, Judah and Jerusalem. He describes them as a forest that's on fire. Let's look at verse 47 and 48 in Ezekiel 20. And say to the forest of the south, that's the southern tribe, Judah, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee and every dry tree. The flame in the flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Notice it's God himself who's going to set the fire. I was a firefighter for many years, and I can tell you a forest fire or a fire out of control is a very horrible thing. Of course, we know in this case God was in control, but it was out of control to the nation. A fire will devour everything in its path. Even today in our modern time, we can't control them. We see on the news where forest fires burn down houses and everything in its path. God said, I will set the forest on fire and it won't stop till I accomplish what I set out to do. When God will ruin a nation, who can save it? Can I just interject here and say we better be praying for America before it's too late? God will set a fire to purify his people. It looks like now in America we're in a fire with this coronavirus. And just remember, God allowed this to happen for a reason. Then Ezekiel warned them of the coming sword of judgment. Just like God set the fire, God will pull the sword out of the sheath and cut down the nation. Let's go over to chapter 21, verse 3. and say to the land of Israel, God talking to Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of the sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. The sword is a symbol of slaughter and vengeance. In national calamities, the righteous and the wicked both suffer. As with the fire, the prophecy was about a near fulfillment as well as a distant fulfillment. God used kings and nations to slaughter rebellious Israel. The wicked king Zedekiah was killed. Since those days has been the times of the Gentiles, when the Jews have not had a Davidic king or temple worship. God has been in control of the rise and fall of nations throughout history. And God is not done, even today, dealing with this nation of Israel. The same way God deals with the nation of Israel, He deals with His children individually. God judges people for their sins. Our memory verse this morning is over in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Just like God didn't let His chosen nation of Israel by with sin, He's not going to let His children today by with sin either. Because God does not change. The great mystery in the Bible is not that God punishes sinners, but a great mystery is why He does not consume them. Because we all deserve hell. But aren't you glad God gives us mercy? And grace, thank God. We need to survey our lives this morning. And we need to stop and take a look at where you are. Was there a day that the Lord truly saved you? Well, how about since that day? Do you just keep going around in circles doing the same sins over and over? Or are you being an ambassador for Christ? If you're a parent, are you training up your children for Christ? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If your child continues serving Christ just like you are serving him right now, would you be happy with the results? The evolution being taught today is a lie. They say things are going to get better and better, but it's not going to get better and better. The Bible says it's going to wax worse. Where are our priorities? Based on how much time and priority you put on the things of God, that you put in your church attendance, in your Bible study, in your prayer life, in witnessing. If I asked your child which one of these was your priority, which one would they say is more important? Or how about would they say that your priority is church and the things of God? Or would they say it's school and education? Or would they just say it's the things of this world? I'm afraid most parents today may say God, yet trained her children that education, popularity, job status, and the things of the world is more important. What about reaching the lost? Even the ones that are outside our family and friends. Are you even telling your family and friends? Well, are you telling others that are not your family and friends? Most of us go to the same places with the same people week after week. As long as we keep doing the same thing we've been doing, why should we expect different results? Are we doing anything to reach the lost with the gospel? God expects us to be his ambassadors. He could have used the angels to proclaim his message. But he didn't. He uses his children. If you're one of his children this morning, he expects you to live for him and to tell others about him, to be his mouthpiece, to be his spokesperson, to be his ambassador in this world. And he expects us to follow his instructions in the Word of God. So why not pray this week? With Easter coming up, this would be a great week to start this. Why not pray this week that God will put somebody in your path that is lost and is hungry to know about God? I can assure you they're out there. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, for the most part, there were some exceptions, had no interest in knowing Jesus. But there were many who did want to know him. And then how about that Philippian jailer? Paul was willing to be thrown into a dark dungeon with stock on his feet to reach a lost person for Jesus. What do you think it would have happened if he'd have been down in that dungeon complaining and griping and having a pity party instead of singing praises to the Lord? I don't believe he would have been effective, do you? Maybe that jailer would have gone to hell. Most of us are not willing to cross the street to witness to someone, much less go to jail. Are we praying for the lost? Will God even hear your prayers if you do pray? Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to be finishing up with this, and our time is about gone. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. During this week, this Palm Sunday week leading up to the Easter week, Jesus died to save the lost. He went to a cross. But thank God he arose and he's alive today. Do you really believe that? Are you doing your part to win the lost? We all have a part to play in God's plan of salvation. God has done his part. He even said on the cross, it is finished. We need to be willing to do our part until our races come to an end and it's finished. Now remember, Ezekiel was a human. He was just a man, just like you and me. Some people read these great prophets in the Bible and said, oh, he was, must have not have been even human, some kind of superman or super saint. No, Ezekiel was a human being. But he was obedient and he did what God called him to do. As we've been studying the book of Ezekiel, God has had Ezekiel to do some wow. Some of the things that God has had Ezekiel to do. But he did them anyway. He didn't understand why he was doing it. He just did it. God had a message for his people through the obedience of Ezekiel. Let's take this time and examine our own hearts. Let's take a personal survey of our life and see how we're doing as God's ambassadors and spokespeople. Just remember, if an ambassador today, if they fail to do their job, if they fail to represent their country well, the president will call them home. I wouldn't want the Lord to call me home for disobedience. When I go home to heaven, I want to hear him say, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." How about you? We can learn from Ezekiel. As Ezekiel was God's spokesperson to the nation of Israel, to the northern kingdom, and then they were taken into captivity because they wouldn't hear. And then to the southern kingdom, they were taken into captivity because they wouldn't hear and do what God told them to do. So in today's lesson, Ezekiel took them back in history of wandering in the wilderness and where God brought them from, and how their forefathers rebelled and were killed in the wilderness. But yet he still showed mercy and grace. Let's purpose in our heart that we want to be used of God. And the way that we can be used of God is to make ourselves usable. God bless you. That concludes our lesson this morning.